been studying the book of Ephesians, and we're going to get into that today. And I did have a, I have to tell who it is, it was Candy. She brought me a little poem that would have went great with my lesson last week, but I want to do it this morning. Remember, I talked last week about the three F's. Number one was what? Anybody remember? Facts. The facts of God's word. Number two was faith in the facts of God's word. And three was feelings. That's last. Always feelings comes last. And she told me, I think, did you say your husband wrote this? Or? Okay. But it's a good poem, and I had to write it down. So, and it is, and what it says is, three men were walking on a wall. One of them's name was Feelings. The other one was Fact. And the other one, I'm sorry, the second one was Faith. Feelings, Faith, and Fact were walking on a wall. When Feelings took an awful fall, and faith was taken back, so close was faith to feelings, it stumbled and fell. But fact remained and brought faith back, and faith brought feelings back. So I kind of thought that was a good poem. It kind of went along with the three F's that I brought to you on that. So that was good. I thank you, Candy, for that. All right, let's go to the book of Ephesians. Chapter 1, and we're going to get started in that. And last week we talked about Paul and his greetings and about the apostles, and we went over the qualifications. And so this week we're going to talk about the position of believers. The position of believers. You have chosen, we are chosen, and we are sealed. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to bless this lesson. Lord, I just thank you, Father, for your word and for what it tells us, Lord, and we are to study it, Lord. And we thank you that we were chosen before the foundation of the world, and that, Lord, when we accepted you as our Lord and Savior, you sealed us, Lord. So, Lord, help me not to get out of line in any way. Help me to just do... bring forth what your word says. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to start out in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. And for time's sake, I'm not going to read through the chapter. I'm going to just go through it as we do. So in verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." So because of our association with the risen Christ, it says, "Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." So we're already blessed in that part, in the heavenlies. Okay, verse 4, it says, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Now, I've got a lot of scripture to go through here. So, for time's sake, I'm going to probably just read most of them. And if you want to jot them down, you can go back and fact check me later. But in verse 4, it says, "God's choice of believing individuals occurred before creation, and was for the purpose of believers being holy." Now, if you go to 2 Thessalonians 2:13, it says, "God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." That's 2 Thessalonians 2:13. In 2 Timothy 1:9, it says, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. A long time ago, folks. Which, by the way, according to Luke 2:10, is for all people. Salvation is for all people. Okay? Now, I know that Pastor he could explain this a lot better than I can. And I remember him explaining this, and we're talking about the elect, how way back over here in eternity past, God chose you. Now, but God knew what you was going to do beforehand. He gives you a will to be able to accept him or reject him. But he knew it. Now, that's way before any of us was even thought of. It's, what does it say? Before the world began. So that's verse 4. Now we're going to go to verse 5. It says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasures of his will. So predestination, God has determined beforehand that those who believed in Christ will be adopted into the family and conform to his son. Now in Romans 8:29 it says, for who he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to his son's image. That's Romans 8:29. Now, it involves a choice of God, because it's what it said in verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. So it involved a choice of God. It is done in love. We see that at the end of verse 4. Without blame before him in love. And it was and it's based on his good pleasure of his perfect will. You see that in verse 5. At the end of verse 5. It says according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, and its purpose is in verse 14, where it says, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So the purpose is for his glory. Now, I got to say a but here. It doesn't relieve man of his responsibility to believe the gospel. In order to bring to pass the personal God's predestination for an individual. So you have to believe that gospel. In John 1:12 it says, but as many as received him, to them gave him power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his son, believe on his name. That's John 1:12. In Romans 8:15 it says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage against to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we call Abba Father. And then in 2 Corinthians 6:18 it says, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And then in Galatians 4 it says, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. So that's verse 5. It said, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by the Christ Jesus to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now in verse 6 it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us. Who is us? All Christians. He had made us accepted in the beloved. Who's the beloved? Who is the beloved? Christ Jesus. He's our beloved. So it says, wherein he had made us, Christians, accepted in the beloved in Christ. All right, now verse 7. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, for the forgiveness of sins according to his the riches of his grace. Now, in redemption, there are three ideas involved in the doctrine of redemption. One, paying the ransom with his blood. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 6:20. 1 Corinthians 6:20. First Corinthians 6:20 says, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Now go to Revelation 5:9. Revelation 5:9 says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." So the first idea of the doctrine of redemption is paying the ransom with his blood. The second idea is we were removed from the curse of the law. Look in Galatians 3:13, book right before Ephesians. Galatians 3:13, it says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree." And then look in Galatians 4:5. Next chapter, 4:5, it says, "To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of son." So the second one was removal from the curse of the law. The third idea in the involved in the doctrine of redemption is release from the bondage of sin into the freedom of grace. Go, and we have that in our what I just read in Ephesians 1:7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood for the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his graces of his grace." And then also look in 1 Peter 1:18. 1 Peter 1:18. And it says, "For as much as ye know that you were redeemed, that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by traditions from your father." So the three ideas that are involved in the doctrine of redemption is paying the ransom with his blood, removal from the curse of the law, and release from the bondage of sin into grace. So redemption is always, without a doubt, through the blood of Christ and his death on the cross. If you look in Colossians 1:14, two chapters of past Ephesians, 1:14 says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Okay, now, back to Ephesians 1. Let's read 8 and 9. And it says, "Wherein he hath abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us," there again, us Christians, "the mystery of God's will according to the good pleasures which he hath purposed in himself." So what is the mystery of God's will? Well, read the next verse, verse 10. "That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on our earth, even in him." So the mystery here is the dispensation of the fullness of time. And what that is, it's the plan and the arrangement of the millennial kingdom, where he will gather together in one all things in Christ, that God might head up everything in Christ. and bring everything into harmony. Now, ain't that going to be great? I mean, when we think about how the world is right now, there's no harmony in the world. You know, everything that goes on, it's all sin. And it's driving, sin drives them away from God, you know. So look in Colossians 1:16. I'm going to read it to you. Colossians 1:16. It says, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." Okay. Now, up to that point, we have talked about chosen. So we were chosen before the foundation of the world. That's what it said in 2 Timothy 1:9. And then God had chosen from the beginning you to salvation and sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth. So we were chosen way back over there. God knew what you was going to do. How he knew that? He knows everything. I don't know. My little pea brain can't even comprehend that. But he chose us way back over there because he knew what we were going to do. So that is the chosen part. Now we're going to look at the sealed part. Verse 13. I don't think I read 11 and 12, did I? Let me read it. "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to his purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ." Now we're going to get into the sealed part, verse 13. It says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." So in that verse it says, "In whom you trusted, after that you heard the word of truth." How did you hear the word of truth? How does God send his word out? People preaching. It says in 1 Corinthians 1:21, "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believed." Now there is some people that got saved without preaching. Not many, you know. God tells us right here in this verse, you know, we're to go out and preach to the world. That's a great part of the Great Commission. That's what everything is about. You know, the guys go out on Saturday, they go door knocking. You know, John just told me this morning that a guy was real close, but he didn't want to pressure him because he wasn't sure. So, but it says that it pleased God for the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So how are you going to hear it? How are you going to get saved if you don't hear it? That's our job. We're to go out. Okay. Then it goes on, it says, "The gospel of your salvation." What is the gospel? The death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. "In whom after that you believed, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise." Now, folks, the time of sealing coincides with the time of believing. When you get saved, at that moment, when you accept the Lord into your heart, he seals you right there. You're sealed. A seal indicates possession and security. The presence of the Holy Spirit is the seal in the believer that is guaranteed of the security of his salvation. Okay, that's what it says there in verse 13. "In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth." You hear the word of truth from preaching, "the gospel of your salvation, the death, the burial, the resurrection, in whom also, after that you believed." So once you believed, God took you and he sealed you with his Holy Spirit of promise. Folks, that's a great thing, you know, to know that The devil can't come up here and take your salvation away from you. A seal is an indication of possession from the Lord and security from him. Okay, now, let's go to the next verse, verse 14. It says, which in the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So what is an earnest? An earnest is a down payment. When you're going to go out here and move, you're going to buy a piece of property, you go up there and you put money down. That's called earnest money. With this, it is our down payment. The presence of the Spirit of God is that God pledges that our salvation will be consummated. That's his pledge. That's his guarantee. That's what we're talking about, is the earnest of that. So it's the presence of the Spirit is God's pledge that our salvation will be consummated. Now, let's read verse 15, 16, and 17. It says, wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. All right, now verse 18. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints. So it says there, in the eyes of our understanding. The heart in Scripture is considered the very center or the core of life. What do you have to do in Romans 10:9? That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart, not head, heart. If you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you might be saved. You shall be saved. So the heart is the center or the core of life. Paul prayed that believers would know, one, in verse 18, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling. So he prayed that the hope of our calling. And then the second thing he also prayed for was, and found in verse 18 too, and what is the riches of his glory in the inheritance of the saints. So the second thing is the riches of God's inheritance, which are the saints. And the third thing that Paul prayed that believers would know is found in 19 and 20, and it's the great power of God's display in Christ's resurrection and exaltation. Okay, now, verse 20 it says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Go to Psalms chapter 101. Psalms 101. And let's read verse 1. And in our scripture it said, at his own right hand, in verse 20. 101:1 says, I will, no, is that it? You know, I'm sorry, 110. I'm sorry, 110. Psalms 110, verse 1 says, the Lord saith unto my Lord, sit at thy right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. The right hand in Scripture is a figure of place and honor and sovereign power. That's where our Lord Jesus Christ sits right now, at the right hand of God. That's what the Scripture tells us. Now, in verse 21, it says, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Verse 22 and 23 says, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body of the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So folks, the church, which is the body of Christ. This is the universal church to which every true believer belongs, regardless of local affiliation. Now, I don't like to use that word universal church. I don't know, it just don't sit well with me. But it doesn't matter if you're Baptist. It doesn't matter, you fill in the blank. It doesn't matter what your religion is. As long as you're in Christ, if you have accepted him as your personal Savior, you're part of that church. You know, yes, I think the independent Baptist is the only way to go. You know, but you can be a Catholic and be saved if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, I know a lot of those guys don't believe you have to read your Bible, but if they read this book, they can be saved. It doesn't matter what church affiliation you are. So in that sense, the universal church is the body of believers that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what that's talking about. So it is a spiritual organism entered by means of baptism of the Spirit. Go to 1 Corinthians 12:13. And it says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That body is Jesus, the church, wherein we were, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. There's only two kinds of people, folks, Jews and Gentiles. Whether we be bond or free, and have been all to make and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So your local affiliation doesn't get you to heaven. There's people in the church, I hope it's not this church, there is churches that people are in there and they're not going to heaven. You know, there's only one way to get there, you know, and that's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all to made to drink into one Spirit. Christ is the risen head of the church, and his members are subject to him. We see that in Ephesians 5:24. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ. So what we looked at here is the position of believers. First of all, you're chosen way back over here. Eternity, past. You were chosen over there because the Lord knew that you were going to believe in him. We were chosen back there, and we were sealed after that you believed. I think that was verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So once you believed, God seals you permanently. It's over with. Nothing can take that away. I firmly believe that. I got saved at the age of 15, and I didn't live for the Lord for a lot of years, but he chastised me constantly. And I don't know, maybe my folks prayed that he'd make my life hard, because he did. You know, and I went through a lot. And I'm sure that everybody here, probably most of you, have that story. But I know God. I know I got saved at 15 because of the way he treated me. I mean, he loved me, but he chastised me constantly. I pray that for my children, one in particular, you know, that God will just make his life miserable until he turns and does the right thing. So That's a free one. I don't even know where that come from. I'm sorry. So the local church should be miniatures of the body of Christ. That's what we should. Yes, we should love everyone. But, you know, God, and he loves everyone, but he don't like sin. And he won't allow it in his presence. So that was my lesson today. It was the position of believers, chosen and sealed. Last week it was the saints. You know, you're all, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have Christ in your heart, you're a saint. Thank God for that. So that's all we got. I'm closing prayer. Lord, we thank you, Father, for your word. Lord, I hope I didn't say nothing out of line. If I did, forgive me, Lord. Be with us today as we have our services, and be with Brother Putney, or I'm sorry, Lord, Putnam. And Lord, be with him, Father, and just have him preach your word to us, and help us to just open our ears, Lord, and have what you have for us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.